How often I have turned to the precious word of life, needing strength for my weary soul. How often has the voice of God addressed the sin in me as he draws me close and makes me whole. In the darkest hours of life I faced, I've been healed by the word. My spirit springs to life anew when I hear from the Lord. The voice of God that speaks from the pages. The truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life. A source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. Decisions I have made have been guided by this book, speaking truth when I don't know what to do. It stands unchanging in a world where nothing stays the same. It's a constant light for whatever we go through. It was true back then, it's true today. You can build your life upon it. The foundation upon which I stand, I'm thankful I can say that it's the voice of God that speaks from the pages. The truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life. The source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. It's my strength in times of temptation. It's where I first learned of God's salvation. And tomorrow when I open up that precious book again, it still will be everything I need. The voice of God that speaks from the pages. The truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life. Source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, ladies. Appreciate that. Aren't you thankful you have a Bible tonight? Amen. What a blessed thought that is. I'm going to make you work tonight. We're going to the book of Habakkuk tonight. I'll speak for about 10 minutes while you find it. Or you can cheat if you have the tabs on your Bible and look for that. See, if you're in school and you're doing the sword drills, the Bible drills, that's cheating having those. And so you're not allowed to have those at all. Not allowed. But we're not playing for points. Habakkuk. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, if that helps you at all. If not, go to the minor prophets and keep searching and turn somewhere and look like you have it. I want to give you a couple of thoughts before we get to the message tonight in regards to the missions trip. I didn't mention a little bit of this before, but going on missions trips has totally changed my outlook and heart for missions. Going to the mission field, being with one of our missionaries in their work for a week, I've loved every place we've been, the ministries, the missionaries, what they've been able to do. There will be a cost to going, but many people will take expensive vacations. Maybe you could take this year and maybe forego an expensive vacation and do a missions trip where you can go and get a heart for people in another country. And we're not making a huge step by going to Toronto, although a different country, but same language. So we try to pick a place that you can speak the language. It is helpful when you can speak to the people that are there, not through an interpreter. We were in Mexico this summer with the teens, or this past summer now, and we were learning as much Spanish as we could. They said, when in Mexico, try to speak as much Spanish as you can. So we're learning as much as we can, and I went to speak to this gentleman. He wanted to introduce me to his dad, and I went to speak to him in Spanish, whatever I was saying, and I was very discouraged when I spoke to him in Spanish, and the man interpreted my Spanish to his father. They did not understand my Spanish, but his. My accent was that bad, I guess. I was like, I'm done trying. But I want to encourage you, take a step of faith. Maybe you can save up, pray for God to provide the funds, and see if you can go. We are going to have a limited space for who is going. I don't know if there's going to be masses that want to go or just a few, but I want to encourage you to step out by faith and ask for God to help to supply the funds for that, and you'll get some more info for that later. The second thing I wanted to mention I talked about this morning was in regards to the inauguration tomorrow and President Trump taking office. Although I am excited for the president coming, and I believe, as I mentioned this morning, that there's a space of grace that God has given to us for this period of time. To be honest, I was surprised that we voted him in. I just thought, our country is turning so far away from God. But there's so many people, as those that have turned away from God and those that have gone so liberal, that there's so many that have turned back and said, no, we don't want to go that direction. And I'm thankful for that, but that's by the grace of God. I want to encourage you with this, with the change of leadership, as we should, whether we agree with or like the leadership or not, praying for our country and praying for our leaders is a commandment for Christians, first of all. We are commanded to pray for those in authority over us, whether we like them or not. I know that we love bashing. It's nothing new, by the way, that people bash their leadership. I mean, you look way back when, and they're drawing cartoons of making fun of the presidents back then. It's nothing new, but praying for our leadership, praying for our country, but knowing this, that President Trump is not the savior of our country. If you think that somehow he's saving our country, turning it back to God, you're wrong. I believe in many ways turning it back to a conservative side, going back to the Constitution. My, how much that is needed today. But as Christians, we must pray. We must witness, and we must be what's right in this country if we want to see our country go in the right direction. As you know, we have an ebb and flow of we have a liberal, conservative, and it goes back and forth. But it may not continue that way, as it is in California. Will we ever elect a conservative governor again? I don't know. I think Governor Newsom is doing his very best to try to push us in that direction. But I want to encourage you to pray, witness, be what's right. And it's very important for our country's sake. If you would stand to your feet, Habakkuk chapter 3, did you find it yet? I tried to give you about 5 minutes to get there. Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to read two verses here. Keep your Bible open. We're going to turn to a couple different passages here in Habakkuk, and you maybe want to mark your spot there, which I'm going to do right now as well, because it looks kind of silly when you're fumbling through your pages trying to find it up here as well. So Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I want to preach to you tonight as we prepare for our revival meetings coming a week away, a week from this Monday with Pastor Treber. And I want to preach tonight about a message entitled, Revival Begins. Revival Begins. I think too many times we show up to a service and we think, okay, I'm here. I'm ready for revival. It doesn't work that way. You prepare for God to work on your heart. I think too many times we show up and do religious activities and we expect to be religious. We show up to church and just expect that God's going to speak to our heart because someone has prayed and prepared and is preaching. But you must prepare your heart for God to speak to you as much as I do. You must as well. And so I want to take some time. I believe if we wait till next Sunday, it's not too late, but I believe there's much more that God can do in our hearts if we prepare now. So I want to preach about this subject of revival begins. Let's pray. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, in our country, we need revival. How wicked our country has turned away from you. How disgraceful it is. People that mock in your face and mock your word and your name. But how much more our churches and as Christians have we turned away from you as well, Lord. How sad it is how much Christianity has really been watered down over the years. Lord, may we truly seek revival. May we truly seek revival in our days and our years. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Please captivate our hearts and our mind right now for this time. Through your word, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Habakkuk was a prophet before the attack of Babylon. And he was crying out and prophesying of Babylon coming. And much of this three-chapter book is the Lord speaking to Habakkuk and Habakkuk speaking to the Lord and preparing them for what was about to come, preparing them for imminent destruction and for bondage and for slavery. And God's people didn't see it. How many warnings did they get? How many prophets and preachers did Israel have, and yet they would not heed the warnings and they just kept going away from the Lord? How easy is it to see that that is the state of our country today, isn't it? How sad it is to see the bills that are passed, the wicked people that are promoted into places of leadership, even in our own county and our own city. To see that people are promoted in places of leadership and applauded for living wicked lifestyles. My, how much we need revival. How much we need revival. Revival is an awakening. It's an awakening. Awakening to righteousness. Awakening to God. And we have so much fallen asleep today and just become comfortable. Kind of like the Laodicean church that has just become lukewarm. In our country today, we have just become very comfortable, haven't we? We become comfortable. I know we don't like conflict and we don't like bondage. We don't like turning away from the Lord, but in some ways we may need that to get back to God. You know that today in the ways of our leadership. The more that our leadership gets away from God, the more it should, I believe, even turn our hearts more toward God. In chapter 1, I'd like for you to turn there. We see in verse number 1, we see the burden of Habakkuk. In verse number 1, it says, the burden of Habakkuk, the prophet did see. And there was a burden on his heart for his people. Church, have you lost your burden for God? Have you lost your burden for the lost? Have you lost your burden for the work of God? A burden is where God impresses on your heart. A burden is a load and a heaviness. It's so easy today to pass off judgment and the load upon others and say, well, I didn't vote for him, it's their fault. Well, no, I didn't vote for him, you know? Well, I'm not doing it. But does it burden your heart? Does it prick your heart for our children's sake where this country is going? Does it burden you to see how far our country has turned away from God? And again, bringing it back to us locally as our church, that we would have a burden. That we wouldn't lose our burden for God and just become comfortable. That there would be a load, a heaviness upon God's people, upon the lost. May we not lose our burden. And in verse number 2, his burden turned into a cry. In verse number 2, it says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. He's crying out, saying, God, please don't destroy this nation. The burden turned into a cry. God's people must have a tear in our prayers. We must have a tear when we come to the altar. We must be willing to cry and to weep over the lost, but too many times we become dry. We become callous. We become lukewarm in many ways. Why? Because we lost our burden We've lost our burden, just callous. Well, it's them, it's not me. They shouldn't have made that decision, and kind of wash our hands as Pilate did and say, not my fault, I didn't do it. There should be a burden on our heart, and that burden should affect our heart. There should be a tear. When's the last time you've wept over the lost? People that are going to a Christless eternity in hell, they don't see their condition, they don't see their eternity, but as Christians, may we weep again over the lost. May it burden our heart, may it move us back to God. May there be a cry again, a cry unto the Lord, a cry against this land, and may the lost people see it. May they see it. May they see God's people that are burdened for them that they don't even see. People that say, I don't know what Christianity is and I don't want Christianity, but if you have what it is, that's what I want. Not for a show, but that they see there's something different, that you care about others, a burden and a cry. And then in chapter 3, as we saw it here, and this burden turned into a cry and it turned into a prayer. And in chapter 3, verse 1, it says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet and a prayer. Getting a hold of the throne of God, praying. We're going to circle back to this topic at the end of the message tonight, but a prayer. A prayer for revival. Revival always starts with you. I can never expect revival. I cannot force God to work in anyone's heart and life. Even as a preacher, as a parent, as a husband, as a father, I cannot force God to work in someone's life. That's something that you have to choose for God to speak to you. Every one of us. You ever heard a message before and the preacher was preaching and you're like, yeah, preacher, get them. They need this message, right? Or you sit there thinking, man, I really wish they were here. There's been a number of times I prepared to preach and I get there and I think, man, they really needed this one today and they're not here. You're like, scrap the message. I'm going to replay it next week just for them, you know? The Lord knew, and maybe it was more for me than it was for them anyway. But revival always starts with you. Put a circle around yourself and saying, God, revive my heart. It always starts with you. I cannot expect and force revival, awakening to God for anyone else. I can only do that for myself. Revival always starts with you, but it always starts with one. It always starts with one. I think many times we think, well, revival is just sweeping across the nation, and you think of hundreds and thousands. I think of the days of the evangelists and preachers with their tent meetings and filling them with thousands and thousands night after night after night. If you came one night, you didn't come again. And they would just pack them out with thousands of people coming. We don't see that today anymore, do we? We don't see that. You go to beg and bribe people to come into church with some kind of giveaway and preach the gospel to them, but they quickly leave. They quickly go away. I'm all for the revival meetings that we have and the big days we have, and many times they come and they go. And we do our best to pray and invite them back in, but many times it's kind of come and go. Revival always starts with you, but it always starts with one. Who's willing to be that one? The choir sings that song, Will You Be the One? Many times we think, well, if someone else gets on fire, then I'll get on fire. You know, maybe you think in church, well, when they start singing out really good, I'm going to start singing out. Waiting for someone else to affect us instead of you starting the revival, that burning in your heart, that burden, that cry, that prayer to God for your nation, for your people, for your God. He had a desire for revival. Look in chapter 3, verse number 2. I've got to stop looking up. I keep blinding my eyes doing that, and then I can't read anymore. In chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. We'll get back to that in a little bit, having a proper fear for God. Then he says this, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. What he's praying for is revival today. In the midst of the years, they said, Babylon's coming, destruction's coming. And he said, God, would you revive us now? Would you revive us now? We think, well, it's not that bad yet. Let me ask you this, Christians, how bad does it need to get until we really break down and get close to God? How much worse do things need to get? Think, well, it's not in my home yet. They've not taken away all my freedoms yet. Look at this, Christian, we must be burdened for revival today, or we can't complain about our future when it comes tomorrow. We can't complain about how things get if we're not burdened getting right with God today. Romans chapter 13, it says, "In that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." It says, knowing this, that now is the time to awake out of sleep. Too many people are asleep instead of waiting and watching for the Savior to return. May we awake to righteousness, awake out of our sleep, awake to our sin and turn back to God. He had a desire for revival today. Today we think, well, revival meetings don't start till next Monday. Let's wait for revival that night. If we're waiting for that night for revival to come, it's not coming. We can plan the specials, the meetings, the speaker and all that, but it doesn't do a work that's lasting very long if we're not prepared. As a young person, I remember going to many camps and conferences and thought, well, I'm here, God speak to my heart. But I wasn't prepared for God to speak to my heart. Are we prepared for revival? Revival begins. He had a desire for revival. Habakkuk had a desire for revival in his day, and he had a desire for immediate revival in the midst of the years. Too many times, though, we're content with our sin, aren't we? We're content. You know, God, mess with their, take away their sin, but not mine. Change their life, but not mine. I pray that they do God's will, but I don't want to go any further. And we want God to work on other, you know, God, I hope you fix the really bad things out there, but don't mess with my sin. That's revival. God getting close. Search my heart and try me. Know my heart, my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And saying, God, it's all on the table. Nothing hidden. No hidden agenda. It's all here, God. What is it in my life? You can take it away. You can add to it. What do you want? He had a desire for immediate revival. Too many times we're content with our sin. Too many times we're content with our distance from God. Saying, God, you know, I mean, I read my Bible a little bit. I kind of sneak it in for a minute or two, and I get a verse for the day, and I move on. And if you get a verse for the day, that's better than no verse for the day, all right? But we're content with just kind of a casual relationship with God. Just kind of like slipping in our time with God and sneaking it out. And are we okay with our distance from God? Content with lukewarm Christianity, lukewarm church. I don't know about you, but if we started the next service, Brother James, and man, we had revival in our singing. Revival. I think we have a great singing church and choir and all that. And many times when people come, they're like, man, your song leader and choir director, man, he really gets with it. It's kind of our show. It's kind of our thing. It's our little niche, you know? And if we started the service and it was just revival in the singing, it was like, wow, what is happening? When's the last time we started a service and people started coming to the altar praying, getting right with God? We think, well, that would be weird, but people would notice me. Yeah, God would notice that, wouldn't he? Man, God would think, what's happening over there? They're not just having church tonight. Man, they're meeting with God tonight. Many times we're okay, content with a lukewarm church. Content with lost people going to hell. May we get a burden, a cry and a prayer for the lost. I believe a revival, getting close to the heart of God, is having a heart for the lost. Our heart for the lost is directly tied to God because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Revival begins when we have a heart for the lost. To be honest, that was all introduction tonight. I don't usually say that, but it really was. I think of Hezekiah. He was sick unto death, and he prayed and said, God, would you heal me, forgive me? And God gave him 15 more years of life. And the king of Babylon's son sent him some gifts, and Hezekiah invited him over. And he said, come on over, and he showed him all that he had, all of his treasures, his gold, his armor, everything that he had. And Isaiah the prophet said, what did you show him? And he said, there is nothing among my treasures that they have not seen, that have not showed them. Could you imagine that, showing your enemy everything you have, all the secrets? Some people in the country like to do that. And then we pardon them all. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day is come that all that is in thine house and That which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. They shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. They're taking all your possessions, your sons, eunuchs in the palace. They're taking your own children. He said, good is the word of the Lord that he has spoken. He said, it is not good. He said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? As long as I'm okay and content, but it's okay, you can take my children to Babylon. Can you imagine that wicked thinking? Not my children. Not happening. Unless if we want to see revival. That's where our country is heading to. Revival begins with you. It begins with one. I'm going to go quickly through 5 points tonight. Number one is this. To have revival, we must have a proper fear of God. Having a proper fear of God. I believe it was in chapter 1. Here the Bible says in verse number 2, O long, how long shall I cry and will not hear? Even cry unto thee with violence, and thou shalt not save. And then in chapter number 3, it says here, O Lord, I have heard thy speech, verse number 2, and was afraid. Because God's judgment was coming. You have a proper fear of God. Too many times people are playing around with God. Playing around with God. And just kind of, God's your buddy, your friend, and I'll listen to him if I want, I won't if I want. Just kind of playing around with God. Having a proper fear for the judgment of God. For the love of God, the mercy of God, the will of God. You have a proper fear of God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have a proper fear of God. I read it a while ago before, but there was an older couple that had served as evangelists for many years, and someone spoke to them and said, why are we not seeing revival? And they said, we believe the number one reason why we're not seeing revival today is because people have lost their fear of God. You have a proper fear for the Lord today. Number two is this. We have a proper hatred of sin. We have a proper hatred of sin. It's amazing today how Christians today have bought in to abortions. It's amazing how many Christians and churches today have bought into transgenderism, homosexuality, and accepting this. And Christians today, Christian churches, whether saved or not, I'm not sure. I'm not the judge for that. Christians are buying into that stuff today. We should have a proper hatred of sin, not hating people, but hating the sin. Hating the sin. The Bible says in Amos 5, hate the evil and love the good. You cannot love the good until you hate the evil. If you hate the evil, you love the good. You cannot have both. We must have a proper hatred of sin. Clean and right before God. And not just the sin of others. Making it personal. Remember, revival starts with you. A hatred for your sin. It's easy to hate other people's sins, isn't it? God, nail their sin. Nail it. But my sin, we get a pass on that one sometimes, don't we? Having a proper hatred of sin, clean and right before God. Having a proper fear for God. Having a proper hatred of sin. Having, number three, a tender heart to the Lord. A tender heart to God. That still small voice that God speaks to you. A tender heart for God. In Job chapter 23, it says, verse 15, therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Is your heart soft towards God? Does God speak to you through your Bible time? Does God speak to you through prayer, or is it just going through the rituals? When's the last time you hit the altar and God moved your heart? When God broke down some walls of maybe forgiveness or resentment or holding back from doing the will of God, and you would simply say, God, whatever you want, whenever you want. I have a fear of missing out on the will of God in my life. I have a fear of missing God's will for my life. That either sin would take me out of the will of God, or that I'd be too stubborn and unwilling to follow God's will for my life. And I'm not saying that I'm always tender immediately. Sometimes it takes God a while to get around to me. You ever have that? God speaks to you and you're like, okay, God, I'm not sure about it. And you fight and fight until finally you say, God, whatever you want. Does God have that in your life? Whatever you want, it's yours. A tender heart to God. I believe revival is allowing God to speak to your heart and move you wherever He wants. To do with your life whatever He wants. But too many times we come to God and say, God, this is what I want to do with my life. And God says, well, I have a plan for you too. Do you want to hear it? No, God, I'm too busy. I've got things I want to do, and I'm going to be in church, and I'm going to be busy. But God says, but I've got a plan for your life. Tender. Are you tender? Is your heart tender to the Lord? Number four, we have a renewed love for God's Word. Revival begins when we have a renewed love for God's Word. The lady is saying it tonight. I love that song. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. Where would your life be without the Word of God today? Where would you be without the light of the glorious gospel shining down in your life? The direction, the instruction, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God, speak to me. But too many times we think, well, God, I got saved. I gave my life to you. And we kind of set it aside. And we have it, we read it, we use it, but it's not a love for God's Word like it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Not a love like it used to be. The Bible says in Psalms 119, a few verses here, verse number 97, O Lord, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Psalms 1, verse number 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What would you do if you lost your Bible? What would you do if someone took away your Bible? What would you do if it was illegal to have the Word of God at all? Would it mess your day up? I mean, maybe Sunday morning at some point some Christians would go, oh, that's right. My Bible is somewhere. I should probably go find it. Thy law do I love. They had the fires down in Los Angeles and they were ripping through so fast and people were running through grabbing what they could and people had to leave some precious things behind. Would you go searching for your Bible first? You'd be like, but I've got money and documents and all that, but what about your Bible? What about God's Word? My Bible was given to me almost 20 years ago now, and it's been rebound. I've written in it many, many times over, but I love the Bible, but I also love this Bible. You ever read your Bible or someone quotes a verse, and I think, okay, that's upper right-hand page, second column. You do that? You know? And that's down, like, I know it's somewhere bottom, middle of the page. You know, you go to look for it there. Do you have a love for God's Word? Or has something taken your love for God? Lastly tonight is this. Revival begins when we have a fervency in prayer. A fervency in prayer. I think too many times, again, we live such busy lives. Something is always dinging, ringing, music, and to be honest, the AirPods and the stuff. There's always something going on, isn't there? Always something being played. To be honest, I think a lot of that is distraction. Even good things can be a distraction for just talking to God. See, when we drive, it's got to be podcasts and music and this and that and on the phone with somebody. What about just time with God? What about just praying? What about just spending extra time with the Lord? Fervency in prayer. But too many times, I think we get up in the day and we get going and say, oh, God, bless the day. I need you. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen. And we get on our way. Is there a fervency in our prayer or is it just kind of rushed? Just casual, just trying to get through the day. I understand life is busy, but is it too busy for God? I mean, if it was with your spouse, how great would your relationship be with your spouse if every conversation was, hi, I love you, see you later. I'll talk to you tonight. Going to bed now. You know, I'll talk to you morning and night for 5 seconds. That relationship would not go good for very long, right? If we spent that much time with God, our relationship with God is not good as well. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. passionate, full of faith, spending time with the Lord. I want to challenge you over the next 8 days now, from today until actually through the revival meeting, so if you will count 9 days, to take extra time in prayer, specifically that God would speak to your heart. I want to give you a few things we could pray for tonight. You could write it down. You can pray for whatever God speaks to your heart about. But I want to encourage you to spend some extra time in prayer. Extra time in prayer. Number one, praying that God would speak to your heart. You say, but Pastor Becker, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm all right. Someone else needs it. Then it's you that God needs to speak to your heart. I hope we come every message, every service, every time that God's word is open and say, God, I need you. Speak to me. I need thee every hour. As opposed to, I heard this one before. I've got the notes written in my Bible. I know where he's going. Say, God, I need you. Speak to my heart again. Pray for your heart. I want to encourage you to pray for your family. Pray for your family. Pray for your spouse, your children, those directly in your home. Pray for your family. You know your family better than anyone else knows your family. You know the struggles they're going through, the needs that they have. Pray for your family. Pray for your spouse, your children, by name and by needs that they have specifically, and take time to pray for them. Pray for your heart, for your own life, for your family. Would you pray for our church? Pray for our church. You know the needs of many people represented here. You call the prayer line, prayer needs on Wednesday night, or just knowing others in the church, praying for others. Praying for others physically, but spiritually as well. Praying for our church. Next one is this, praying for your country. Praying for your country. We mentioned that already with the inauguration coming tomorrow, but praying for your country, that God would move and work. Our country is divided. I read it this morning, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Our country is so divided. I feel like in some ways at the brink of just breaking apart. So divided. Pray for our country, that there would be a revival. There be a renewal and awakening of people truly getting back to God. Pray for your country. And the last one is this. You could add many things to it, but pray for the lost. Pray for the lost. There's people all around us that need the gospel every single day. Pray for the lost. We were home the other day and we're trying to get, beginning of the year, trying to sell things, get rid of things, all that stuff. And we posted something for sale. It was like, free. Just get it out of here. It's not worth $20 to wait a month and a half and just take it. Take it away. And someone said, 30 minutes later, I'll take it. I said, sure, it's yours. Come. Come and take it away. You can disassemble it. And so they came, and he came to our house, and he got my voicemail, and it says I'm the pastor of the church. And he came to our house, and he said, oh, he goes, you own a church? And I said, no, not own. I'm pastor of the church, and talked to him for a minute, and we were going, and he was getting something. And as I was leaving, the Lord's like, give him a track. And I was like, we're leaving. And so I stop and get a track out, and invited him, and I told him where the church was, and just had a few seconds, and he said, we'll be there tomorrow. How many times do you hear that, right? We'll be there tomorrow. The whole family was here this morning. God pricked my heart and went, you're like, oh yeah, sure, they'll be there tomorrow. I didn't think about it again after that. I know I should be more spiritual than that. I've been weeping and praying, and the whole family showed up today. Grandmother, mom, dad, all the kids. And I was like, Lord, I need help. A burden for the lost. Too many times we're too busy with things going on when there's people that God brings our way and says, you need to have a burden for them. God says to pray for laborers to end his harvest. Why? Because the laborers are few. The harvest is great. Praying for the lost. Revival begins. Not 6:30 next Monday night. Service begins 10 a.m. Sunday morning, revival's breaking out. Many Sunday school teachers would just pray that God would revive them just awake again. You know, let's do something. Let's have a revival. As Habakkuk had said, he revived that work in the midst of the years. Now, you know, maybe someday when things get worse, somebody else, how about you? And how about now? It takes work. It takes work with you and God. Revival begins. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.